Welcome back to All the Buzz, you guys. In this episode, I am joined by my most requested guest, and that is my husband. He is the co-founder and managing partner at Differential Ventures, and this conversation is going to be, I guess, about our relationship from his perspective, of course, because I've already shared a lot of mine. So, introducing Hubs.
Hi.
Hi. Do you believe we're here?
I do.
We've talked about it for kind of a while.
You wanted to do this at one point, like 2 years ago when we first met. You were like, we need to do, or 3 years ago when we first met, like, we should do a podcast together.
Yes, and I didn't mean like me interviewing you, but I thought that we would be great at co-hosting together, like Kelly and Mark.
Here we are.
And this is close to that.
Sort of, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the girls, they all started off with a lot of AI questions, but I think we need to get down to what the people really care about, and that's us. I think, a lot of people have seen you on my Instagram, obviously, but, like, they never have been able to hear your voice. So, guys, this is his voice. He has a good voice.
I have a voice.
You have a
voice. I have legs. I have a voice. Yeah, everything.
You have the full thing.
Yeah.
The full nine yards. Should we go back to when we first met?
We can do that.
Okay, sounds good. He's getting nervous. He's getting so serious. Okay, take us back to our first date, honey. What was it like for you when you saw this girl walk into Central Park?
It was pretty spooky. we had such like a great online chat, which is remarkable because I'm a zero star texter in general.
Yeah.
And like at that point in dating apps and everything else, like, I was horrible. So, like, negative stars probably. But we really hit it off. I found myself continuously like texting with you, then like throwing my phone on the couch, being like, this is stupid, I hate this thing, I'm gonna delete this app tomorrow. And I'd be like, well, what'd that girl say? And I'd pick it back up and I'd text, and it went on for hours, which is probably a first and only for me. So that was weird. So I was excited to get there.
That was weird.
And then I think I had to reschedule. I think I had to push you back like an hour. Or was that a second date?
Yeah, that was that time because you were going through one of your like looking at a million apartment phases.
I looked at a million apartments.
Yeah.
You don't love rescheduling. You like plans.
I do.
So I had to push back an hour. I think I probably got off on the wrong foot there. And then we went for a walk in the park. That was, you know, you were in leather pants and boots. And I was like geared up for a walk, like, you know, I'm like Forrest Gump, I was ready to walk. And we walked about 30 steps and you're like, let's sit on this bench. Like, okay, we can sit. You mean you put a mask on, which is weird because we were like a year into COVID. You and I had drastically different COVIDs and perspectives. So yeah, I laughed, I put my mask on and we chatted for a while, and you were much more standoffish and like direct about dating and my intentions and things like that and my life. And you didn't really give me a whole lot in that first date until the very end. So
yeah,
honestly, I had no idea how it went until the very end. Like, it was so like businesslike that about half an hour into it, I was just kind of like laughing to myself. Like, I have no clue what's going on right now. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's horrible. Can't tell. I'm just going to laugh my way through this one and see what happens.
From my perspective, you didn't know what I was thinking, but what were you thinking?
I liked you. I thought you were very smart. I thought you had lots of good questions.
Interviewer, duh.
Yeah. Later on, at one point, you said, you're not the world's best question asker.
You.
Yeah, you said this to me about a year later
you
when we first started dating.
At that point.
And I said, I'm an amazing question asker. It's all I do all day, every day, talking to founders and other people. I said, you just seem like you have a lot you need to get out of the way before I start asking my questions.
Yeah.
So I just sat back and kind of answered everything.
You did.
You asked your questions. Yeah, I wasn't sure how it was going. But it, in the end, I thought it was pretty good. You held my hand at the end, which was kind of came out of left field, I guess.
Yep.
But I thought you were smart. I thought you were pretty. I thought you were on the cusp of being done, like New York City style done with dating and men.
I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Like,
I was
like another bad date and you might have like completely been done.
I never had a bad date. It was more just like I was so used to hearing so many stories, and I was actually never inquisitive with anybody else but you. I got to a place where I was, I think, over just kind of like listening to the shit that guys would say and like kind of buying it, for lack of better words, that I took such a long pause in dating that I said to myself, like, whenever I decided to put myself back out there, like, whoever I was going out with, I was going to be my most authentic self from the beginning. And part of that was asking questions, but B, like, also having a little bit of a guard up, because, you know, and everyone knows, like, I'm such a vulnerable person, like, in the sense that I put myself out there, I say what's on my mind, I'm very kind of like loving, like, and caring kind of quickly, and I just didn't want to do that anymore until it was the right person. How did you know that you were ready to commit to a relationship with me?
I was building a business from scratch and at a pretty critical time, and just felt like I couldn't totally commit to something else in my life. I was working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week at that
point. You still are. I'm just your second job.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I knew I wasn't quite ready then, but I knew you were different and special, and I knew that if I could get myself to a point where I was ready for all those things, and that lined up with you being ready for a serious relationship, then we'd be good. So I did. I mean, I worked like crazy. I cleaned up some parts of my life, and when the time felt right to reach out and see you again, I did, and then I just knew. I hate it because to me I like to be able to quantify things and say, like, here's what I did and what I felt and everything else. And you know, I have to give some credit to my friends who were always kind of the mindset of like, you'll know when you know. And I was like, that's stupid. Like, I'm not wired like that. You're different than me, all this stuff. And then it happened, and I was like, oh shit, I just know. You know, offsite meeting at my business partner David's house down in Jersey Shore, where
tell the viewers.
Know, David's a very direct guy, and we work together a lot. You know, we built a fund together, and we had some time to like go over some strategy planning stuff, and then we just sat on his porch and we're talking, and he's like, you know, what's your deal? He's like, I've been working with you for 5 years. You've never really had a girlfriend. Like, you know, what do you want? Do you want kids? You're getting old.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know, I'm trying to sort all of that out. You know, I feel like I just don't have room in my life right now. And David said very clearly, he's like, you know, we're good. Like, we're doing very well. You should assume success for us. He's like, and if you want to get married, if you want to have kids, he's like, you probably have like 3 years left. And then,
nice.
Like, I don't know, maybe you can find a group of single people who travel together, or I don't know. I don't really know what you'll do, but you should probably think about having some other interests outside of just work. And it definitely hit home. It sat with me. And that was 6 months before we started really dating.
Yeah. The wedding was obviously, like, incredible. And, I mean, do you believe that that's, like, 3 months plus behind us at this point?
It was amazing. It's a great party, great vacation, but
yeah.
That's what it is, you know? I think you don't want to miss it too much, I think, in just a healthy relationship. And I don't. I'm glad we have it behind us and just get back
Same.
To talking and doing other stuff besides wedding. But it was amazing.
But what was your favorite part?
What was my favorite part of the wedding?
Yeah.
My vows took a lot out of me. I needed a nap afterwards.
They were amazing. Everyone was crying. You had everyone in tears. Like, if that wasn't a, like, what do you call it? Like a profession, confession, a pouring out. A professional of your love, then I don't know what was.
Yeah. That's sort of what it's designed to be. So I put, as I always say, words matter.
They
so
do.
I chose every word very carefully. So yeah, I need a nap after that.
and a new shirt.
A new shirt, of one of many. Yeah. We nailed our first dance.
We
were pretty fucking good.
I had a full-on neck injury during that dance, is like the comical part too, retrospectively.
Yeah.
Like, and I was dipping back and everything. But shout out to Peter, who was an amazing instructor over at some ballroom on 31st Street near Penn Station.
Yeah. We took our first dance class together. And you saw your first person shooting heroin into their ankle right when we left the
I was not okay. I was not okay.
It was a big night.
Nick, what is that? We've had a few experiences together where I'm like, Nick, what is that? And that was not a fun one for you to explain
to
me.
We grew up on opposite sides of the track.
We did. Yeah. That's the thing about you and I is like, we come from two completely different worlds, but we've somehow like come together in creating a world that we both want the same things. Like, we're so much of the same people in a lot of weird ways. We've both been raised by single mothers. We have half siblings who are the same age difference for both of us. You know, we both love, I'm sure he'll LOL at me saying this publicly, but he loves to shop like I do and get massage like I do and eat chocolate like I do. He's like the best girlfriend I never really had. And we think very similarly. My favorite part of the wedding was definitely the ceremony, like just standing up there and like we were in a place that's A, so important to me, and seeing just all of our family and friends in one place together. Like, your wedding's probably the only time in your life where that happens. And I think we both did a really good job of just like enjoying the moment and being present.
I agree. I think that part was perfect. And we brought two very different worlds together.
We did.
Our two, I mean, you know, our two worlds are like nine different worlds of types of people.
Totally. But they all had the best time together. Everyone said like, and not in like a feeling like obligated to compliment, but they all said it was the best wedding they'd been to. And I think they genuinely did have fun.
For sure.
I thought the honeymoon was a really excellent trip. We went to St. Bart's. I think we had a hard time finding somewhere that was warm to go for our wedding being in March. And the options were literally Mexico, Puerto Rico, St. Bart, or then freezing our tushies off in Europe, which didn't seem fun.
So Bora Bora.
Or Bora Bora, which was a multi-day travel extravaganza, which you were totally gung-ho on doing. And I said that I thought it was too much time, too expensive. And I think a lot of people, they think they need these over-the-top Instagram-worthy honeymoons, and St. Bart's is like a mini-moon. St. Bart's is not a mini-moon. St. Bart's is expensive. It is gorgeous. We had the perfect culmination of relaxation with culture and eating and shopping. Like, it was 9 to 10 days of, like, what we needed. I think if we were anywhere else, we would have gotten restless. But, okay, day nine, we were ready to work. We were ready to get home and do our thing. But, like, it was the perfect place for us.
I agree. I loved it. Yeah. Every minute of it. It was easy to get to, except for the little airplane and the little boat.
Some of us enjoyed the modes of transportation more than I did. However,
once you're there,
yeah.
A plus.
Yeah. I think, like, thinking about, you know, what are the things that you've done to me as a person and vice versa, or like the whatever, I think you've made me way calmer. I think you've made me way less tolerant of people's behaviors and actions towards me if they're not at a certain level of respect. Like, I just, like, can't take it, literally. I think you've made me appreciate the moment more. I think that I always used to, like, rush time and was so excited about next week, next month, next year. And I don't do that anymore because, like, I'm not rushing to get through the days. Like, I just want, like, every moment with you, and like even a lifetime's not enough to satisfy me, to be honest.
Yes, yeah, agreed. I've definitely slowed down a bit. I mean, I'm pretty good. I'm always good at being in the moment.
Yeah.
But I've slowed down more and try to enjoy like the actual downtime more than I ever did before.
Yeah.
Before I just like fill it more work or something.
Yeah.
Now I'm like comfortable not having the laptop in front of me for a little while and just doing our thing and being together, walking, eating, whatever. And then the other one is just like being better at communicating like what I'm feeling in a moment. Like, I'm definitely somebody who has to intellectualize my feelings a little bit, which can come off a little weird from time to time, to get my head fully around things and get the words right. So yeah. I don't like exploding. I don't like reacting emotionally. I like to listen and like come at everything from a place of understanding and then respond.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta say what's on your fucking mind and move on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not rational. Sometimes it's not anything deep and you just say it and move on. I think you're very good at saying stuff, whether it makes any sense or not, and then moving on.
Yeah. I move on very quickly.
You do.
And you've become so much more vulnerable and, like, you know, just in touch with your feelings since you've been with me. I mean, it's a fact. Everyone says it. So.
For sure.
You know, that's cool. honey, I think we're going to have to do like another episode in like 6 months from now where we talk more about AI and more of your career stuff, because that's a whole other topic. And we're going to throw that in there for you because I love you so much. Like, we met on Bumble. Clearly there is some sort of algorithmic
math.
Yeah, math.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think it was fate with us or do you think it was the algorithm? Do tell. You don't believe in fate. I'll just give you guys the punch now. But
so these, mm-hmm. I mean, the entire internet, every major tech company, including the dating apps, have so much information on all of us that they know exactly, like Facebook knows when somebody's going to break up or get divorced or do something really stupid before the people are usually conscious of it. That's how powerful these algorithms are. And it's not just that they're like, you know, listening to us through the phone or anything like that, although, you know, they kind of are. It is actually scarier that they have enough data to predict these things. And I think, you know, the reality of dating apps is that they just exacerbate human behavior in the sense that, like, you know, if you're out there on a dating app, or psychologically, if you're in the world, like, looking for your person, for your husband, for your wife, for a serious relationship, for whatever that means, you're going to go find it, and you're going to select into people who seem the same. Bumble and Hinge have so much information on us that they know how to pair people up like that.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's just psychology on steroids, because if you're looking for your person, it's going to show you people who are ready to be your person.
Well, they paired two very opposite people who were probably not super ready for anything. And
we never would have met in the real world.
Never. But I never went out in the real world, like outside of fashion events. So you're right. I would never have literally crossed paths with you.
Right.
Except we realized that there were times when we were both living in D.C. and living in certain places where we quite literally could have crossed paths. But we never would have met.
No. But the opposite is true, too. Like, you know, people who break up and are looking for a quick rebound, people who are lonely and just want to chat to a stranger on an app for a while because they don't have anybody else, somebody who's, you know, drunk and looking for a hookup, like, the algorithm will put you in touch with what your psychology is looking for in that moment.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the app will know more clearly and consciously better than we do.
Well, I guess I knew you were ready for your wife, because look where we are.
Apparently.
Kind of
crazy. I just turned 40. You remember that? It was in our little Bumble chat. I just had a milestone birthday.
Yes. 2 days before my birthday.
I've been mostly single for quite a long time. And there's something about turning 40 where, you know, as a guy, other people are always like, oh, man, this guy is living the dream. You know, must be going with a ton of chicks, doing whatever he wants all the time. He's, you know, VC, starting his own business. Like, life is good. Like, it is good to be Nick. And that was absolutely true. Then I turned 40. And all of a sudden, like, everybody's kind of like, he's still single? Like, is everything okay there? You know, there's definitely, people started to look a little bit differently at me.
Yeah.
And I was ready anyway. I knew, like, around being a man, you know, we mature super quickly. So right around 38, I feel like I was definitely maturing, you know, slowing down of, like, wanting to be out with friends and doing all that stuff. And then at 40, I was like, yeah, it's time. I think I need something else in life here. But you really have to be, I mean, if we had met at the wrong time, that'd be a disaster. You know, I think it's very hard for people who, even if they're a great match, but are not in the same space.
We have the same sign, but I want to tell everybody something creepy. It's creepy. What's the one creepy thing? That my parents got married the day that your father died the same year.
Definitely a weird thing.
That's weird. And that's when I knew that that was fate.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird.
That's mathematically pretty unlikely.
And see, against all odds.
Here we are. Yeah.
Yeah. With that being said, you're my favorite person. And the person who knows me best. And I'm glad I finally got to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You have an open invitation.